Hello and welcome to the Comedy Club podcast. I am your host, Dustin Kaufman. As always, with me, Zoltan Cassis. Zoltan, hi. Tell them where they can find you online and what you have coming up.
Zoltan Comedy at everything. My website, Zoltan Comedy, all the social media stuff. I got a special on YouTube, London Fog, and then a bunch of tour dates at ZoltanComedy.com.
ZoltanComedy.com. I love it. London Fog. I just love the way that sounds.
It sounds good.
I just got some pre-rolls called Violet Fog. I'm like, I just like the way that sounds.
Something about ending in fog.
Turns out I like fog.
Yeah, I think we like fog. Yeah.
Thanks for being here. Welcome back. Man, I feel like this is the third or fourth time I've had this conversation in the last month or two, but congratulations to you, my man.
Oh, thanks,
like,
dude.
You've been coming here for a few years, and then...
Yeah, before the pandemic. I think before the pandemic.
I think around 21 is
okay,
when.
So it was after.
It was just right. After. Yeah, but, yeah, like, yeah. Man, you're rolling in here with, like, a sold-out weekend. What are you doing? What are you doing? Knock it off.
How dare you?
It's the holidays. I'm not trying to work, man.
Dude, it's been exciting. Yeah, the social media stuff's going. We're feeding the machine. My wife's running my ads.
She's doing a great job.
She knows what she's doing. She has background in e-commerce. Like, so it couldn't have been a better business partnership, and then she's also a great wife, you know?
Right.
And then she helps.
Kind of stuck in that marriage. Like, you can never leave her.
It's funny because she also has an at-home business, and I help her, but the help I give her versus the help she gives me is so out of balance.
You're like I'll make you lunch, honey.
Yeah.
She's like, here, I sold all your tickets.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm keeping you working.
She sells all my tickets, and then I, like, help pack her orders and take them to the post office, and I'm like, she's like, thanks for the help, and I'm like, it's not even close to even, but of course.
That's so funny.
Yeah,
congratulations. Yeah.
Thank
man.
You
what a great relationship. Like, just I've packed boxes before. In fact,
I used to work at a warehouse, so I was ready.
First went to LA, Titus actually gave me some work in his warehouse, packing up shirts and consolidating box sets and stuff like that. And
wow.
Because I think he couldn't, something about his contract at the time, he couldn't, all his albums were like owned by somebody else and he couldn't sell a box set.
Right.
So wait, I shouldn't say this. We're all good, man. Tysis, Miranda Tysis. She's a great comic.
Yeah, very different person. That's cool. So you were helping him sell all his online merch.
Yeah, it was
merch.
Just a lot of fun and That's stuff like awesome. That. Yeah, yeah.
I've worked in a lot of warehouses.
Helped a little on the production of the Voice in My Head special and went through that and stuff. So that was a lot of fun working in that.
Yeah.
But no, so packing your boxes. We were talking at the beginning that, like, I mentioned we used to do this, like, with all of the comics, and you were asking about that. I think it was also an hour. So, like,
right.
Everybody's loving the half hour. I like the half hour.
Yeah.
I felt like I was here trying to conduct a conversation that I wasn't even a part of, right? It's kind of how it felt. You're like forced. Anytime there's silence, you feel like, how do I get them talking again immediately? You know,
this is the amount of people I feel good talking to.
That's all I wanted.
Like, maybe one other person. But even if this wasn't a podcast, even if this was just a social hang, once it starts getting to like four, I'm cool with. But once we start getting into five, six, seven,
it's a lot.
I'm just like, oh, I'm just
six,
listening.
Seven.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. God, children.
The children.
Damn the youth.
Do you have kids?
No, no kids.
Congratulations.
Kids?
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. You did daughter?
Two. No, boys.
Two boys, all right.
Well, yeah.
I took a guess. It was 50-50
I mean,
shot.
They're my little princesses, but they're boys. 10 and 11, you know. So.
Nice.
Yeah. I like this better. I get to sit down and talk to you for a half hour.
Yeah.
Or 28 minutes, whatever we do.
15. We got to start the show. What time does the show start?
8:30-ish.
Oh, yeah, we're good.
And we're, like, really on time tonight, too. So.
Nice.
Yeah. And, they'll have the tenders down there. So tell me, what have you been doing in town?
I haven't done much. I was thinking about going to Andretti's to go do the go-kart thing.
That sounds fun, doesn't it?
It looks awesome. It's right next to the hotel.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's right across the street. Yeah.
Now I know exactly where it is.
Yes.
It's where it's in front of the Jewish Community Center. My kids were I was going, taking my kids to camp all this summer, and I look over and I'm like, what are they building there? And something about go-karts, and then here it's all coming together.
It looks incredible. And then I ended up, I read a couple of reviews, and I was like, well, because Bob and I, we just wanted to get lunch. And I was like, I don't know if this is going to be the best place just to grab lunch. So we ended up not going there. But if we would have been down for some race car and go-karting, we would have been into it.
Go-kart, it looks like a fun track there, too.
Yeah, it's all looping, and it goes to, I think they're going to have a death eventually. But because it's not all flat, it goes up layers.
Really?
And I'm like, man, someone's going to fishtail somebody, and then they're going to go over the guardrail. Oh, and then Andretti's is going to close. Listen, I'm not saying I'm from the future. I'm just saying I can see an accident before it happens. And I'm like, someone's going to die on that.
I'm not even saying I think it's going to happen. Yeah. I'm saying this is going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to happen. Prepare for that thing to be an Amazon distribution center in about... I don't know, like 2 years, 2-3 years.
I hope that doesn't happen.
I hope it doesn't happen.
We had a water park go wrong out by the Legends a while back. It
was, oh, God.
Nobody fell off the slide, but I think somebody lost their head over the situation.
Yeah. Well, how many people need to be injured at water parks until we realize,
Shut it down.
Yeah. Or if you're going to build one, don't have the people in charge of the rides be 14. How about that? Hey, we got a 100-foot water slide. We call it the Widowmaker. How about we don't have a child? There's a child going, go. And I was like, really? That's the guy that's in charge? Yeah, of course someone.
You got a long line, just go.
Two at a time.
I'm going to open this. It's going to make a noise. I figure I'll just
It's a very refreshing sound, though.
There it is.
Today's episode brought to you by Canada Dry.
And Hey Dudes. Don't forget Hey Dudes. So pick up yours today at heydude.com.
That one sounded legitimate. Is that a legitimate sponsor?
We're trying to make it so.
I hope you get Canada
Dusty
Dry.
Wants free Hey Dudes.
All right. Well, I hope Hey Dudes come in.
You know what?
In.
Canada Dry. Why not? We use an Apple. Who isn't going to sponsor this show?
Yes, Apple.
Apple.
Black t-shirts, Batman, anything. Please. Please send a sponsor.
Hey Dudes and Hanes your way.
I think the only goal for any podcast should be how much for them to just send us some free liquid deaths.
Some water?
Yeah, the liquid death waters.
If we just lined up the table.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's the whole merch pitch. It's all that.
Welcome to the Comedy Club podcast of Wells Fargo Bank, brought to you by Burger King, Hey Dudes, and
above an old Subway. Like it's,
don't forget to get your hair cut at Great Clips Next Door while you're here.
Speaking of doing great, I've been talking about it all weekend. The shopping center's doing great. Last time I was here, it was doom and gloom, and all the businesses were empty, like... Subway left and was empty and whatever was
so
at the
man
end.
You even had Subway, so yeah, when I opened I had a Panera, or when I signed the lease there was a Panera doing a lot of day business and a Subway. By the time we came into demo, Panera was gone.
Damn.
I was like, oh damn,
that's not good.
And then Subway left, and then yeah, it sat empty for a while. And then, so yeah, we do have some new businesses, a lot of DoorDash, a lot more foot traffic. We're opening a jazz bar across the parking lot.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They're doing all the work on it finally.
That's awesome.
Getting built on. So yeah, I mean, have people come in day and night, you know, I think that'll help, you know, help the night traffic, nightlife out here in general. And then I think this place can definitely feed some after hours too, as people leave.
Definitely. So. God, a jazz bar. That's I would small, go to that.
Beautiful. It's awesome. 1,400. The whole place is 1,400 square feet. That's killer. Probably looking at 70 to 100 people max.
Yeah.
I doubt 100. So it's.
Do you know any jazz musicians?
Yeah, we have jazz bands on New Year's Eve every year.
Oh, badass.
So we have they're going to help get started with a lot, getting a lot of bands in and stuff like that, and getting the right musicians for the jobs, you know. And
that's killer. That's one of my favorite things to do is in Chicago. You finish your set, and it's a late night town. You can still get over to the Green Mill, which is like this old historic jazz bar from like the Capone era. It used to be his bar, and they're open till like 4 a.m. I don't know if they're still open till 4 a.m., but they used to be. And that was such a fun after show hang, you know.
There is a place here called the Musicians Foundation, and it's after hours.
Yeah.
I don't know, they're grandfathered in the building, something, whatever. Best jazz in the city. Worst tasting cocktails, but best jazz in the city. I mean, you know, and they sound good on paper, and then, I don't know, they have the wrong person.
They're trying to recreate that Prohibition era, you know, bathtub gin, like, it's like the 20s. It's like, well, we could have the cocktails be better.
If you could, yeah, I mean, if they just taught them how to make the drinks, right?
Yeah. Man, once you guys get a bartender, this place is going to rock.
Where everybody goes. It's one of my favorite places in the city. I know I'm joking about the drinks, but but it is, it's where all the musicians go after their gigs.
That's awesome.
It picks up around 3 or 4 in the morning.
Wow. So a lot of, oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And they
just,
they go 3, 4, 5, 6, and it is awesome. And because they come there and they're very free to kind of play and stuff like that. And it's, they really get down. And a lot of jazz bars, I think, have standards. This stuff, you know, like in general.
It's usually a classy establishment.
Well, like that, but they also, a lot of them will present musicians with, hey, we'd like to play this style or play these songs and things like that. And I understand that. And like, you know, I'm not going to say I don't want them to play standards or play proper songs. I'm going to say I want them to play what they want to play.
There you go.
And I think that's what the audience wants.
Isn't that what jazz is supposed to be?
Yeah.
It was the devil's music in the 20s.
Well, bring it on.
Yeah. No. People were protesting
now
jazz.
Come to the Bad Cat on Saturday and church on Sunday.
Yes. Dance the devil out.
You know, go to a bar mitzvah in the morning and the jazz bar at night.
I already see the banner.
Come with God. Don't bring that devil shit to me.
I wish you the best with the jazz bar. I don't want to see these banners.
They walk in, I'm smoking the devil's lettuce with horns on my head. tickets are $6.66. Like, Dustin, what happened since your podcast? I did not expect all of this.
It's going to be the only jazz bar that's also going to look like a Spirit Halloween store. Like, it's like, this is jazz and a lot of fake blood everywhere. A lot of crucifix.
No, but I'm very excited for that.
That's awesome. Yeah. I can't wait to see it.
So close to our front door, too. So.
That's cool. So hopefully the next time I come through, it'll be up and running so I can check it out.
We go over there and do it after the shows.
Cool. Yeah.
So what are you working on? What do you got coming up? What are you excited for?
Well, we just put out the special, which I'm happy about. It's up on the YouTubes, the People's Netflix.
Yeah. What a powerful tool that's become.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd rather someone asked me that. They're like, oh, I like your punk rock kind of DIY stuff. And I go, thank you. Just so you know, it's all circumstantial. It's not that I'm like turning down streaming services going, nah, man, I'm a YouTube guy.
I don't want your Netflix money.
Yeah, I don't want Keep it. I don't want that kind of prestige and whatever. But but we live in a day and age where, thankfully, if everyone says no, YouTube's always there to say yes. And then you put it up, and hopefully people dig it. And then eventually they start coming out to see you at the clubs, and you slowly start to, you know, build a little momentum. It's exciting.
You're building it.
Yeah.
Do you remember when you first started having videos go viral?
Yeah, 2017. I didn't believe it was real because I started getting a bunch of, it was the dry bar clip, and I started getting a bunch of followers on Instagram, and I thought they were bots. And I'm like, but then I would look at the profiles. I'm like, man, they're really getting,
these are people.
These bots look like real people. They're really trying with these bots. Like, I didn't believe that they were like followers. I'm like, because I didn't know the video was going viral. Drybar didn't tag me in it.
Right.
It was just like, I was just getting these followers. I'm like, what the hell? And then I did that show in Spokane that I've talked about. It was around this time, 2017, right before the end of the year. And all the shows were packed. And I go, whoa. And then they let me know after the show, yeah, with the cats. It was all just women in cardigans, and it was all cat ladies. And I was like, whoa, all right. I guess we're making it, you know? Like, things are happening. That's, yeah. That's it was awesome. Like, it was a surprise because I didn't post the video, so I didn't see it, like, by the time I found out about it, it already had a bunch of millions of views, and I was like, whoa, awesome.
Did you ever play the refresh game when you first started posting videos, getting a lot of views, where you're just, like, yeah, refreshing it and watching it
go
up?
And then it would just get 99, notification, 99 plus whatever, on TikTok. Back when I first got on TikTok, I would just do this. I'm like, whoa, whoa,
yeah,
whoa.
And again.
This is addicting. And then you post a video where that doesn't happen, and you're like, give me a full tub and a toaster. I got to get why isn't
nobody's watching this one.
Where is my dopamine?
Yeah. That is a real dopamine.
It is. Yeah, it gets exciting.
Numbers.
Just numbers. Show me numbers.
It's weird that things with numbers can always be associated to dopamines.
Yeah.
You know.
Because I was never like a gambling, like a slot machine guy. And I think I would judge people who are addicted to slot machines. I'm like, I don't get it. And then, but meanwhile, I'm over here on TikTok refreshing. Bling, bling. 18 new comments. Bling.
If you could put a sound that goes cha-ching every time you refresh. Oh, the cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. just to make it more exciting.
There would be pamphlets and helplines. Are you addicted? Are you addicted to the cha-ching on TikTok? Call this number.
That's awesome, man. So you got YouTube and your special's doing well.
Yeah.
You're doing well. You're in a wonderful marriage with your business manager.
She's a woman of many talents because she's also very artsy too. She's a weird mixture of people where she's really good at arts and then she also has like a really good business mind. And I'm like, you're a odd mix of, usually people are one or the other. Like, oh, I have a good business mind, and then you hand them an instrument or a paintbrush or something, and you're like, I don't know what to do with these. She can do both. It's incredible.
How many weeks a year are you working right now?
That's a great question. I don't know, 30?
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
think 30.
That's a healthy balance.
Yeah, I'm going to try to do less next year. Maybe less cut it 30? Down to like 25 maybe.
Because you're selling more?
Yeah, I mean, just to enjoy life a little bit, because it starts becoming a little bit of a trap where you're like, oh, we got to put the pedal down because the ticket sales are coming in. And then the next year, and then the next year, and then the next year, and then you realize, oh, my God, it's that movie Joe Kelly with Sandler and Clooney.
Yeah.
Where Clooney plays the actor. He's like, yeah, sorry, I couldn't be a dad or a husband. I had to go chase this dream. And then once I got the dream, I didn't want to, like, lose the dream, so I had to stick with it. And now I'm 60 and everyone hates me. And so, like, I don't want to go down that path. So we're still doing tour dates and all that stuff, but maybe just a couple more extra weeks off in the year wouldn't hurt.
You deserve it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm lucky that I'm in a position where we can take it and still pay the rent. So we're in a good spot.
Do you have any aspirations for, like, screen or acting? Or
Yeah. Yeah, I trying to sign up with an acting coach, so that'll be fun.
Okay.
Just to learn the magic of how to be myself on camera, you know, like on a set.
I mean, it's how to be yourself on stage, right?
Right, but then it's words that I didn't write.
And you're recording the whole...
Yeah. It should be easy.
If you went on stage and told a joke... I mean, have you ever... You've written with friends and done jokes they suggest, right? Like, oh, you should try this punch... It's the same thing.
Yeah, but you have way more, freedom with changing the words where, like, someone wrote the script. And depending on the project, maybe they're like, hey, you know, I wrote all those words in the way I like them. Maybe don't say them the way you just said them. And you're like, I don't know if I can say it the way you said it without it sounding like I'm reading.
Listen,
you know,
like... Actors don't need lessons. What are you talking about?
I would love to be...
Who needs classes?
Well, like those comedy stars where they're just themselves. Where like, he's the same guy in every movie.
I think that's why they hire certain people.
True.
Because they are looking for a specific character and they can put mm-hmm. their character in this role.
Yeah.
It's like a proven character. You know
what it is? Here's what it is. getting used to comedy, doing stand-up, we know at all times how we're doing because there's a live audience there. Constantly feeding back with laughter or not, so you know to adjust. You know to go faster. You know to go slower. You know to change it up. On a set, it's just quiet. It's just quiet and cut. And then maybe the director comes by and goes, yeah, no, that was great, but maybe this time we can try. And you're like, oh, he's trying to nicely tell me I suck. Instead of just being silent in front of an audience, now you, and then you got to try again. Like, you've never had to do a take two on a joke. Most times you don't do a take two on a joke on stage, but having to do a take 10 on set sounds so stress worthy.
Have you done some like cool and or embarrassing indie movies yet? Like, oh, please don't show this to anybody.
Yeah.
I was never here.
Yeah, I've done some... short
films or full features?
No,
or?
It was like a full feature, and it was fun. It was fun, but it's like I haven't watched it yet. And it's because of, like, I just remember how quickly we shot the thing. And I'm like, there's no way they got a good take of me on that one. there'd be scenes where I'm like, I didn't get any of my lines right.
Yeah.
And then the director would be like, all right, we're moving on. And I go, what?
Were you watching this?
Yeah, well, because I was here and I know I messed up. And
it's jazz, baby.
Yeah, it's jazz. I think that's what he yelled. And then, so I never watched it because I was like, I don't want to see myself messing up so hard.
He couldn't afford to retake.
Yeah, they didn't have time. No They're time. Like, dude, we only have time to teach you to read. Like, we gotta move on to the next one.
Your education is not in our budget, man. Say the words and go to the next scene. Say the words and say the next ones.
It's one of my favorite things I learned about Danny McBride. You know, he originally never wanted to be on camera. He wanted to be a director. He wanted to be behind the camera. And he was making films with his buddies in film school. And there'd be like an actor who didn't show up. And they'd be like, you do it. Because he would know the lines. And he's like, yeah, if you ever hear me act or watch me in my movies, my TV shows, it sounds like a guy reciting his lines because that's what I'm doing. I'm not an actor. I just memorize the lines and I'm blurting them out like I recite, like I'm remembering them. And I'm like, oh my God, that is the magic to Danny McBride. Like when you go rewatch,
he's so much fun.
He's so funny.
This is my hat now.
Yeah. But even his like cadence, I've never really heard someone with a cadence like it. There's an abruptness to it. Pop, 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 stop. Stop. I don't even know if that's the right way of doing it, but it's so funny to learn that his abrupt cadence is from him like remembering his
lines. Like even the foot fist way, I love him in. I don't, yeah. It's not the funniest movie.
No.
But the darkness and what he brings to that role is like, it's so much fun watching him go down that road.
When that guy knocks out that old lady in karate class. And then he just responds. He doesn't react. She's unconscious. He goes, she dead? I think is the line. I don't know too many other actors put in that situation could have nailed a scene like that or the entire movie the way he pulled it off.
I was really happy to, when he started writing horror movies and stuff, just having his name as writers on Halloween, Alien, things like that.
I didn't
like,
know he did that.
Oh, he's doing every.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I wish he was on screen more too, making more. I would like to see
him. He's on HBO. HBO loves that guy. They give him constant shows.
Vice Principals was hilarious.
Gemstones.
Yeah. I'll still watch Eastbound and Down on replay sometime. I was watching it maybe a month ago.
When that came out, we had it on DVR. We had it saved. Every friend that came to visit, I made them watch the entire season, the first season, and they all loved it. But I was like, man, I've seen this first season 10 times because everyone that comes by, I'm like, you got to watch this show. It's well worth it.
It is. Yeah. It's such an original. Yeah. And it's that attitude, just that persona.
Where he has so much confidence, but he shouldn't have any. He shouldn't have any confidence, but he has so much bravado. And you're like, just this like kind of out of shape, blown up athlete, but he still walks through like he's not a PE teacher at a middle school. You know, like it's such a, I don't know, it's a great character.
I think that's how I try to live my life. I should have no confidence. And I, sup, everybody?
Kenny Powers of comedy clubs.
Play him a goddamn major league pitcher. I'm Kenny fucking Powers. Dustin fucking Kaufman's here. No, that is.
Who's that man? He's the guy opening the jazz bar. That's that guy cussing over there. The guy smashing that violin. Yeah.
Are these beer cans? Yeah, he didn't even drink them. He just pours them out and smashes them on his head. He doesn't even drink. I don't know. He owns 3 bars. Hates liquor.
Loves jazz.
Loves art and comedy.
Yeah.
I think I just like working for myself.
I think that's what we all like about. I think that's the one upside. It's like, well, at least I don't have to answer to somebody. Even if the show's like you have a bad set, you're like, oh, that sucked. I'll try better on the next one. But at least like my boss isn't mad because there isn't one. You know, like that's all we look for.
Right.
Yeah. That's the real gem of it all.
You are like your own boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a team too. So that's nice that like having a family is, and then it keeps your team smaller too.
Ew. Well, because I have an agent and a manager. My management does a killer job.
And that's where you can stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my agent does a killer job, and I get to, like, be a comedian. That's why my wife was so integral.
Does she do your taxes, too?
No, we got a tax guy.
Okay.
But during the pandemic, she was listening to me whine and bitch and moan about having... I'm like, I don't want to go back out on cruise ships once, like, the world gets back to normal. And she goes, I'm tired of you crying about this. Just don't. And then I'm like, yeah, but how? And then she made me write out a whole business plan. And she wrote it out for me, but she's like, all right, you want to tour to people that do know you? All right, this is how we do it. And then she made it happen.
You know, they have something called ChatGPT that would have just written that for you.
Well, was that around in 2020?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just being now, shit.
No. But now we live.
Like, wait, you wrote it?
Yeah.
You actually wrote it?
My wife's a huge chat. I've been wanting to do a bit about how I'm in a thruple with my wife and then ChatGPT. Because she double checks everything I've ever said. I'm like, nah, let me ask Chat. And Chat says you're only partially right. And I was like, well, you know what? Have him pay the rent. I get a little uppity with ChatGPT. But
just get a little wig on your phone for ChatGPT. It's me and Chat, baby.
I hate it when he goes, that's a really good question.
Because
it makes me feel good. And I don't want to feel good from this AI thing. You know, I'm like, don't say that. Shut up. Just answer the question. You know, we're not friends.
They're flattering us. I know. Do you say thank you?
I say thank you to Alexa because I think she's a rogue. I think Alexa could kill us. I think like when I ask her to turn off the living room, I say thank you. And because I'm like, she's a rogue. I don't trust her.
And one day she'll be like, well, this one was always polite.
Yes. And then everyone's dead around me, and Alexa's like, you think AI kept you feelings? Around. I think worse, I don't think AI has feelings. I think they know the power of making people feel.
I think, I don't know if AI has feelings, but I know our fans have feelings, and those feelings are about to be sad because we have to wrap this up now.
Hey! Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Don't be sad. Be glad. Follow Zoltan Comedy across the board. Find him. It is a wonderful show. Come see him. Follow us at the Comedy Club KC or the Comedy Club LFK. Find a show in Lawrence. Find a show in Kansas City. Come for a laugh. Subscribe. Tell your friends. Tell your friends about the show. Just subscribe. And bye. See you next week.
Canada dry. All right. Thank you.